1 Samuel chapter number 18 in our Bibles, we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday in this little series about David, and David, the man after God's own heart, who God had chosen to be the next king of Israel after the time of Saul's reign. Saul had been rejected, and David was going to be the next king, the man after God's own heart. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, last Sunday we got down to verse number 9. So in just a moment, we're going to pick up at verse number 10, and we're going to notice some truths this morning, in, starting in verse number 10 here in just a moment. But I wanted you to give just a quick review of what we learned last week to get us caught up to where we're at in verse number 10 today. And actually, we're going to begin our reading, just by way of review, we're going to begin our reading in verse 8. So verse 8 and verse 9 we'll look at again, and then we'll start in verse number 10. But last week, we started out by talking about, in this chapter, in 1 Samuel chapter number 18, a promise between two friends, David and Jonathan, and the promise that they gave to each other. And that was in the very beginning of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And then we talked about the promotion of David. David was promoted. Now, by this time, David has already been anointed to be king. David has already defeated the giant Goliath, and he has now had victory over the Philistines. And so David has a place of promotion as well now in Saul's army. And so David now has a promise that he makes between his friend Jonathan and a promotion that was given. And then David receives some praise as well. There's a song that some ladies were singing. As a matter of fact, the Bible mentions it to us in verse number 7 of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And we see the praise that David was given. And it says in verse 7, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000." So this is the song of joy that these ladies sing. They recognize Saul, but they recognize David in a way that is 10 times greater than what they can recognize Saul with. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. This song that they give as praise to David. By the way, David responded to that praise the right way. We talked about that last Sunday night. How do you respond to praise? I believe David responded to it the right way in humility, and he continued to live in obedience and respect to not only the king, but also his God that he served and his father as well. And so David responded the right way to all that praise that was heaped upon him. But then we got to verse number 8 because we wanted to notice number 4 in our thought here in 1 Samuel chapter 18. So number 1, we saw the promise between two friends, and then the promotion of David, and then the praise of David. But then we saw the problem with Saul. Saul has a problem. And we noticed that problem in verse number 8, and we also noticed it in verse number 9. And we finished off last Sunday night with verse 8 and verse number 9. We noticed that Saul responds to this song. And he gives a response, and the Bible says in verse number 8, "And Saul was very wroth." The Bible tells us that one of the problems that Saul has, he's very angry. The song that the ladies are singing, it does not set well with Saul, does it? He is a very proud king. He's a very jealous king. And he's a very fearful king as well. He's fearful that David is taking over the throne. God has already, of course, anointed David, but David was going to, it was going to be a few years as a teenage boy before David would become king at the age of 30. And so there was some time, but Saul is being very fearful as a king. And the Bible tells us he's very angry. That word wroth, we said last Sunday night, that word wroth has the idea of glowing with anger. And the Bible says not only is he wroth, but he is very, the Bible says the saying displeased him. So he is very displeased, angry in displeasure by this song as well. We talked about how that anger creates problems. And if we don't conquer our anger will conquer us. So Saul's first problem was anger. But then we see his second problem. Look down, if you would, in verse number 9. It says, "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." Now last Sunday night, again, just by way of review, but last Sunday night we used that word, we took that word eyed. And we said that word eyed had the idea of watching him with jealousy. So not only is Saul, his problem is anger, but he also has a problem of jealousy as well. And we told you how that jealousy can create major problems as well. Jealousy can destroy us. Jealousy can be very deceptive. And so we saw that as we finished off when we were talking last Sunday night, we were preaching last Sunday night. And we want to move on to verse number 10. We want to move on to some thoughts that help us in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. But just like last Sunday morning, and just like every message that we have preached in this series about David, here's what I believe that we notice in these passages of Scripture here in 1 Samuel about David's life. I think we notice some wonderful truths that we need to apply to our lives. And so I think this morning is going to be no different. I think we're going to be able to apply some truths that we see from 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And I want us to take these truths and I want us to apply them to our lives. I want us to notice them, make them applicable to ourselves this morning as we see these thoughts here that are given to us in 1 Samuel chapter number 18 about the life of David and the story that we're seeing here of David and Jonathan and Saul. And so in just a moment, we're going to notice verse number 10. But before we get to verse number 10, I want us to notice a truth about our God before we even move on to verse number 10. There's something that we have seen in the life of Saul that leads into verse number 10 that is so important for us to remember about our God. At one point, the Bible tells us that Saul loved David. He had a love for David. As a matter of fact, if we would not believe that, when we look at what happens here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, you say, well, Saul is very angry with David. Saul is very jealous of David. But the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, just two chapters back from where we are, and down in verse number 21, it says this, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. So there was a time in which Saul loved David. Now the Bible tells us that he is at a point in which he is very envious of David. How quickly things can change. But here's the truth about our God. He never changes, does he? And we can be thankful that we serve a God today who never changes. He would not represent himself like Saul. Saul changes. Saul at once loved David and now he envies David. But we can be grateful today that we do serve a God that never changes. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, you may be familiar with the verse, it says in Malachi 3, I am the Lord, and it says, I change not. We serve a God who never changes. So we serve a God who's good, so we know he's always going to be good. We serve a God who is faithful, and we know that he's a God who's always going to be faithful. We serve a God who's merciful, because he never changes, we know he's always going to be a merciful God. We serve a God who's gracious, and because he never changes, he's always going to be a God that is gracious. We serve a God who is just. That means he will do what is right. And we know that one day, those who die without the Lord Jesus Christ are going to die and spend eternity separated from Christ in a terrible place called hell, ultimately in the lake of fire. And some may look at our God and they may say, why would a God of love, why would a God of grace and why would a God of mercy send somebody to hell? Because he's also a God who is just. And he has to do that which is right. He has to punish sin. He has to punish wrong. And we know we serve a God who is just. And because he never changes, we know that he will always do that which is just and that which is right. We know we serve a God who is loving. And because we serve a God who never changes, we know that he's always going to be a God who loves us. But something else we want to make as by way of application, a truth that we want to consider for our life, not only do we see the change that takes place in Saul's life, but we also see the fact that Saul is a very unstable man. The Bible tells us in the book of James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, God desires that we be a person who's totally committed to him. And if we live a life of total commitment to the Lord, we will not live in an unstable way. But Saul lives a very unstable life. Remember the thought the Bible says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So I think we see the fact that Saul has changed. Our God never changes. The fact that Saul is a very unstable man. God wants us to be committed in our walk and our Christian relationship with him, so that we do not become an unstable Christian. But I also want you to notice that Saul is also spiritually declining. Saul is spiritually declining. Did you notice? I don't know if you've noticed this. I know in my life it seems to be true. Maybe in your life, perhaps it's not. But I know in my life, when there's moments of spiritual decline, I feel like I'm the last one to see it. We might be able to see the spiritual decline of others, but for some reason, it is truthful many times in our life. We're the last one to see the problems that we have. maybe perhaps if you would just evaluate in your heart today and say, Lord, am I as close to you as I've always been? Or is it possible that there's a spiritual decline that's taking place? Do I need to get closer to you? Have there been times in my life where I've been more faithful than what I am now? Am I coasting more on what I used to do than what I'm doing now for the Lord? Let's evaluate our spiritual condition. Saul is spiritually declining. And here's the truth that we have to admit, we have to acknowledge, that eventually, whatever is happening on the inside does eventually reveal itself through our character. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see with Saul. What is happening in his heart, in the verses that we're going to see this morning, eventually is going to reveal itself in his character. And by the way, that's for the good and the bad. If something good is taking place in our heart, it's going to reveal itself with good character, isn't it? And if something negative, if something wrong, if something evil or sinful is happening in our life, it's going to reveal itself in sinful conduct and sinful character. And so I want us to understand some truths here that we're going to notice about Saul as we see his spiritual decline. But for a moment, right before we get to verse number 10, can we now switch gears to David for a moment? Now, Brother Terry came up here and he read Psalm 23. That's a psalm, of course, that David wrote. And David wrote that, of course, for comfort and encouragement. And by the way, it still comforts and encourages us today, doesn't it? As we read through Psalm 23. But can I point out a truth about Psalm 23 that is going to be very true in the life of David? I want you to notice what verse 4 of Psalm 23 says. Now, you don't have to take the time to turn there, but I'm going to read to you what verse 4 in Psalm 23 says. I'd say it's probably very familiar to you. But it says this, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," the psalmist David says, "I will fear no evil." Now think about that. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now I pointed out Psalm 23 verse 4 on purpose this morning because I want you to notice that David's Psalm 23 verse number 4 is beginning right here. David has 10 years or so where he is literally going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Saul is seeking to kill David. He's not toying around with it. He wants to see him dead. And no matter what means he has to go to kill David, he wants to see David die. He wants to see the possibility of him taking over the throne to be just a distant memory. David cannot take over the throne because he's been put to death. That's what Saul desires. And I want you to notice that Psalm 23 in verse number 4, the beginning of that in David's life is happening right where we're at in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," now notice the next couple words, "I will fear no evil." Then notice the comfort that David gives to us, "for thou art with me." Now, I want you to remember that thought because we're going to get to it in just a moment. "For thou art with me." You have your Bible open there to 1 Samuel chapter number 18? I think we're going to see it here in just a moment. And then notice what David says at the end of verse number 4. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's not just about saying it's protection or it's something that's necessary because I'm a shepherd and I'm looking at the Lord being my shepherd, trying to give an illustration. It's that they comfort me. They're a strength to me. They're an encouragement to me. God, you've given comfort. You've given your presence, knowing that you are there. Now, remember what we read in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 1. We read it last Sunday morning, if you were here with us. If you weren't, we're going to read it one more time. In 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse number 1, David makes a promise with Jonathan. And the Bible describes to us their friendship. Look at what it says of David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 18, because I think you're there. Look at verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when they had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David." It was almost as if they were intertwined. We talked about that last Sunday morning. It was an intertwining of their souls with one another. What a great friendship. What a great promise that they made. Well, just as David was knit to the heart of Jonathan, David was going to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and he was going to be knit. He was going to need to be knit to his Lord? Are there times in your life where you feel like you need to be knit to your Lord? I trust that we would say all the time. But I think when we think about the storms, like what Brother Ron just sang about, we think about the valleys of life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a moment in which we need to be knit together with the Lord. We need to be close to him. We need to know that his presence is there, that his rod and his staff bring us the great comfort that we need. So would you look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, and would you look with me, before we even move to verse 10, would you look at verse number 12 and notice a truth here? The Bible says, and Saul was afraid of David. Notice the next couple words, because the Lord was, what's the Bible say? He was with him. David and the Lord are knit together. The Lord is with him. God's presence is there with David. Would you look at verse number 14, if you would, in your Bible? It says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. It's not just that the Lord and he were together. It was that God's presence was on him as well. God's presence was there with David. Look with me, if you would, down at verse number 28. The Bible says, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. It is very evident. It is very obvious, even to Saul, that the Lord was with him. Now, what was the Lord going to do through all of this in David's life? Well, number one, the Lord was going to thwart the plans of Saul. Saul had plans to kill David. But the Lord was going to thwart all of those plans so that David would not die. He would reign as the next king. He was the man who God had chosen. He was the man after God's own heart. But I want you also to understand that the Lord is going to mature David through all of this. Have you ever gone through the storms of life and you feel like it's matured you? As Ron Hamilton wrote in his song, Rejoice in the Lord, that I shall come forth as gold, he says. It's for the purpose of maturing us. It's for the purpose of purifying us. And I also believe that David went through the valley of the shadow of death for the purpose of the Lord preparing him for his future throne. He would reign on the throne in the future, and God was preparing. He was setting all of it up. And aren't you thankful today that even in the difficult times of life, even in the times of life where we face challenges, God still has a plan for it all? He doesn't leave us alone. He's there with us, and he has a plan for every challenge, every difficulty, every storm, every valley that we face in life. All of this may have taken David by surprise, but we can rejoice in the fact that it does not take God by surprise. He knew exactly what was happening. And would you notice verse number 10? I want you to notice what Saul does here in verse number 10. Look with me, if you would, at verse 10. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now let's notice the first part of verse number 11. It says, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. Now, I want you to notice the difference between David and Saul. Number one, David has something in his hand. Now, Saul has something in his hand as well, but David has something in his hand. The Bible tells us that David is holding a harp. There have been times where David had come into the presence of Saul for the purpose of encouraging Saul, and he had played his harp. Now, in the past when David would do that, that was back in the time in which Saul loved David. It was a whole lot different now in the heart of Saul. But the Bible tells us in the hand of David is a harp. He's playing for Saul, but there's something special in the heart of David as well. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God had come upon David. The Bible tells us back in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 13, it says when David was anointed, listen to this, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, I understand that the Holy Spirit in an individual's life in the Old Testament was different than we could think of today in the church age and in our lives as believers. But God's Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would come upon people at certain times in specific ways for specific tasks that they had to do. And after David was anointed to be king, God's Holy Spirit came upon David. So the Bible tells us that some of the differences David's got a harp in his hand, and he's got the Holy Spirit of God living within him. But the Bible tells us that it's a complete contrast to Saul, because Saul has a javelin in his hand. And the Bible tells us in verse number 10 that an evil spirit from God had come upon Saul. The Bible tells us that he is being affected by an evil spirit and his jealousy. Remember now, he's jealous. Remember, he's very angry. We saw that in verse 8, and we saw it in verse number 9, his anger, and we saw his jealousy. We see now that his jealousy is affecting him and escalating to the point where he is now attempting to kill David. I want to see David killed. Remember what David said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23, verse number 4 is really real to David right now. He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death with a harp in his hand and Saul with a javelin in his hand. He's attempting to kill him. His jealousy has escalated to that point. Now, could we perhaps think of some Bible illustrations of individuals who have had their jealousy escalate to the point where they've either murdered or attempted murder? Think about Cain and Abel. Think about Abel as he offers this sacrifice to the Lord, which is the exact sacrifice that God had asked for. And Cain thought he brought something that was better than Abel, but it wasn't the sacrifice that God asked for. Cain's sacrifice was a good sacrifice, but it wasn't what God had asked for. It was the best that he had to offer. It was by the sweat of his brow that he had brought that. Hard work and hard labor that he brought that before the Lord. But it wasn't what the Lord had asked for, and Cain knew that that wasn't what the Lord wanted. But yet he still brought it, and because God received Abel's sacrifice and not Cain, it led to a spirit of jealousy to the point where he went out and he slew his own brother. We think of a story a little bit later in the book of Genesis. My favorite Bible character, the Bible character in the book of Genesis, Joseph. I love his story. The Bible tells us his brothers get so jealous of him. He's got this coat of many colors. He's got favor from his father. And because of this coat, because of his favor from his father, the Bible tells us they take him and they rip that coat off of him. The Bible tells us they throw him in this pit with all intentions of just letting him die in this pit and eventually even selling him into slavery in Egypt. Their jealousy had escalated to a point where they had even attempted to murder their brother. But when you meant it for evil, remember what Joseph said? God meant it for good, didn't he? And God had a plan in all of that. But Saul attempts to kill David. He attempts to destroy God's plan. Can I say this? You cannot destroy God's plan. You can try, but you won't be able to destroy God's plan. But that's exactly what Saul is planning. He wants to destroy the plan of God. Can I say this? Saul gives us a perfect illustration or a perfect truth in our life that we have to remember. He returns evil for good. Here's this man, David, who's playing a harp. He's doing something good for Saul. But Saul, the Bible tells us, returns evil for good. There's a couple encouraging verses that help us to be mindful of that truth. I want to read them to you real quick. Notice what Psalm 109 says. I want you to listen to this as I read it. You don't have to take the time to find it. But Psalm 109 in verse number 5, it says this, "And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love," the Bible says from the psalmist there. I've tried to give them good. David gives good with his harp. But Saul returns and rewards the good that David had done with evil. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13, it says these words, "Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house." And I say from this point forward, we see that in the life of Saul. We see that everything goes downhill. Everything declines in the life of Saul because of the choices that he is making. But I want you to notice David's response. Here's a man with a harp in his hand, sitting in the same proximity of Saul with a javelin in his hand. And I want you to notice how David responds. Look with me, if you would, at the end of verse number 11 in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. It says, "And David avoided out of his presence," how many times? Twice. Not just once, but twice, the Bible tells us that David escapes. Can we say this? God protected David, didn't he? Saul is trying to destroy the plan of God. God is protecting David. God's got a plan, and he is going to see it through, isn't he? David is God's chosen one. David is the man after God's own heart. God's going to see the plan through, and God protects David. A wonderful illustration for us of the response that David had. I think we see in David's response, a wonderful illustration of discretion. We see that David is very, he shows us a wonderful principle of discretion in the choice that he made and great understanding. To get up, not for the purpose of trying to hurt God's anointed or God's king, and we're going to see that many times in David's life, aren't we? The great discretion, the great understanding, the great temperance or self-control that David had to get out of the presence of King Saul and avoid the anger and avoid the jealousy of King Saul. But I want to finish this passage of Scripture by noticing the last thing in this little series that we have here in 1 Samuel chapter number 18 of thoughts. We talked about the promise between two friends and the promotion of David, the praise of David. We saw the problem of Saul, and now we're going to see the plan of Saul. Saul's got a plan. He's trying to destroy God's plan, but God's plan can never be destroyed. And so let's notice what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Look at the start of verse number 12. We're drawing our thought to a close here this morning. Look at the start of verse 12. It says, "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." The Bible says he's afraid. That word afraid there has the idea of being uneasy, being very apprehensive, especially about his future. Now, by way of a truth, by way of an application that we could give to this, why is it that he is fearful? Why is it that he's so concerned? Why is he so uneasy? Why is he so apprehensive? Why is he so fearful about his future? Well, notice the way the Bible describes his fear. Look at the end of verse number 12. You have to see this. Look at the way the Bible describes his fear. Why is he so fearful? Because the Lord was with him. The Lord's with who? The Lord's with David. And he has departed from Saul. This is a description of a man without Christ, isn't it? A man who's fearful about his future because he sees God on someone, but he doesn't see God in his life. He's without Christ, and therefore he's very uneasy. Can we say this today? If you're living today without Christ, it's only natural that you're going to be uneasy. You're living without the promise of a future in heaven. You're living without the hope of forgiveness of sins. You're living without the grace and the love and the mercy of God. There may be somebody here today that's living that way. And you're a little uneasy. And it's not just that you're uneasy right now, but you're uneasy about the future. You don't know what your future holds. Notice why Saul is uneasy. Because God is not with him, but God is with David. You know, a Christian, we have no fear, we have no reason to fear or be uneasy about the future, do we? Think about the future that is what the Christian's future holds. The Christian's future holds hope, doesn't it? It holds getting to see Jesus face to face. It holds an eternal life in heaven, a mansion that's awaiting us, the reuniting with family and friends perhaps that knew the Lord that have already gone there. Our hope is not fearful. There's no reason to be uneasy, but those that are without Christ, their hope, their future is uncertain, it's fearful. They can be uneasy about their future. Can I say this? You can settle that today, can't you? You can get your future settled today. You can come to know the hope that Jesus gives us and that we find in His Word. You can come to know His grace. You can come to know His mercy. You can come to know His love the same way Fasano came to know Jesus today. If you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, it does stand to reason that you would be uneasy, but we don't have to be uneasy. We can live with hope. We can live with a future knowing that we're going to get to spend eternity in heaven. And it's as simple as getting to a place where we acknowledge that we're a sinner. Our sin separates us from God. There's a punishment for our sin, but God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And if we will put our faith and trust in Him, we can have hope, a reservation for heaven, and an assurance, about our eternal destiny. You don't have to be uneasy about your future. You can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Could we look, if you would, at verse number 13? I want us to notice verse number 13 as we finish our message this morning. I want us to see the plan that begins to unfold that Saul has for David. He's very fearful. God is on David and God has departed from him. And notice what the Bible says in verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And the Bible says in verse number 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. The Bible tells us in verse number 13 and verse number 14, Saul's got a plan. The Bible tells us he's going to get David out of his sight. If I can just get David out of the kingdom, if I can get David out of the palace here, and I can get him to move on. And the Bible tells us that Saul is sending David out of the camp where the enemy could perhaps kill David, just to get him out of his sight. You notice Saul is better at scheming than he is trusting God. You know, there are some that live that way. They're better scheming than they are just trusting God. Let's just learn to trust God. Let's not try to scheme. Let's not try to come up with some kind of a plan, because God's plan is going to work out anyway. But he tries to come up with a plan. He tries to scheme instead of trusting God and understanding that God's in charge. By the way, Jonathan was trusting God, wasn't he? He knew that God was in charge. He knew that he wasn't going to stand in the way. God was ultimately going to have his plan work out. But Saul's scheming. He's coming up with a plan. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. I want you to notice this. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. I want you to understand something. I think that Saul is seeing in David what should have been in him. He's seeing in David what should be in a king. It's not what he's living life like, but he's seeing that it's true in David's life. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that it even is what Saul used to be. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, down to verse number 17, Samuel is talking to Saul, and he says this, and he said, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Meaning there was a time when Saul was doing things the right way. When you were, he says. But now he's seeing in David what a king should really be like. He's failed to be what God wanted him to be in a king. And now he wants to do away with David. He wants to put him to death. And now notice verse number 17. It says, I'm sorry, verse number 16. It says, but all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, notice the second part of his plan. Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Now, do you remember something about his daughter? Do you remember that he had promised a daughter in marriage to the one who killed Goliath? Now, that hasn't come to pass yet. But the Bible tells us that Saul says to David, I'll give you one of my daughters so that she can be your wife. And then he begins to speak very piously here in verse number 17. Notice how he words things in verse 17. He says, only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. Did you notice that Saul is speaking with a forked tongue? He's describing what he desires David to do in such a way where he acts as if he has interest in God and God's battle. He's speaking with a forked tongue. And the Bible says at the end of the verse, it says, for Saul said, we see his real plan, his real intentions. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him. Notice, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Saul desires that the Philistines do his work for him. You say, what's Saul trying to say here? Well, Saul's trying to put David in a hot moment of battle so that David is killed. And if David is killed in battle against the Philistines, well, then that will be the enemy's fault. I won't have to put my hand on him. Instead, he'll die by the hand of the Philistines, and it'll be their fault. Or if David were to live through it, he would perhaps lose the battle, and as a result of losing the battle, his popularity would die down a bit. Saul's goal is that David doesn't succeed. Saul's goal is that David dies. He dies in battle, and so he puts him in that hot part of the battle against the Philistines for the purpose of seeing him die. Saul is a very proud man. Saul is a very rebellious man. Saul is a very stubborn man. He's a very angry man. He's jealous. He's disobedient. And he's very selfish. And when we get to the end of this passage, I want you to notice some wonderful truths at the end of chapter 18, and we'll finish with these verses. Look at verse number 27, if you would. Now, remember what Saul's plan was. Saul had a plan. He wants to destroy God's plan, but remember, you can't destroy God's plan, can you? And notice what verse number 27 says. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. Notice down to verse 28, if you would. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Look at verse 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Look at verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself wisely. He had such a great reputation that notice what the end of verse 30 says, that all of the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Saul had a plan, but God's plan always prevails, doesn't it? So by way of some wonderful truths, some wonderful illustrations, some wonderful applications in this passage, would you answer some questions this morning as we draw our message to a close? There's lots that we can glean from 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And I want us to notice a few things. I want us to notice that when Saul is proud and he was living in jealousy and anger and disobedience, David is still living in a humble way. David is still living obedient. David is still living with a servant's heart. But can we ask you some questions of application today as we bring our message to a close? Think back to what we said about Saul spiritually declining. Is there any, perhaps, spiritual decline in your life? Would you say you're where God wants you right now? You've got the relationship that God wants you to have with Him. Or could you say, as we said before in the message, there are times when I've lived closer to the Lord. Perhaps I have declined. Perhaps I have strayed a bit. Perhaps I'm coasting more on, again, what I used to do than what I'm doing now for the Lord. Have you spiritually declined? Do you need to draw closer to the Lord today? And then by way of application, would you ask yourself this question this morning? Are you grateful that you serve a God that never changes? We saw in the passage that we serve a God that never changes. Are you grateful that you can serve a God today that never changes? Are you knit to the Lord? There are times in our life where we're going to be knit to the Lord, or we're going to need to be knit to the Lord. We're going to need to be close to Him. Are you close to the Lord? He gives us the promise that He's always going to be with us. But is there anything that stands in between you and the Lord? Are there sins that maybe perhaps you need to confess today? Is there someone perhaps that you may need to seek out and say, I want to forgive for something that has happened? Maybe some bitterness that you're holding on to that causes separation between you and the Lord, and you're not knit to the Lord the way you should be. Do you understand that God is working out His plan even when you go through the difficult and the trying times of life, the storms, the valleys of life? Do you understand that God is still there? As Brother Ron sang about this morning, in the storms of life, He's still there. In the valleys, He's still there. In the difficult times of life, are you still trusting that He's working His plan out and He's there with you? Do you have anger or jealousy that you need to give to the Lord and ask Him for His forgiveness and ask Him for His help? Can you thank the Lord today that the enemy can never destroy God's plan? Would you thank Him for that today? The enemy may try to destroy God's plan, but God's plan will never be destroyed. We can take comfort in that today. And then lastly, by way of application today, this would be for those that do not know the Lord as your Savior. Are you living without Christ? If you're living without Christ, you're living without hope. You're living in a way in which your days are very uneasy. You're uncomfortable. You don't know for sure whether you're going to live eternally with the Lord. Is your future settled or is it uncertain? Today, let's make application of 1 Samuel chapter number 18. Let's apply these things to our life, these promises, these truths, these applications to our life today from the story in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Father, I pray that You would bless this moment of invitation that we're going to have. Lord, I know there's